There won't be snow in Africa this Christmas time. The greatest gift they'll get this year is love, where nothing ever grows, no rain, no river flows. Do they know it's Christmas time at all? Please, don't go to the pub. Give us your money now. We need your money now. People are dying now. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the coming population crisis. For rest assured, there is going to be a population crisis, and the result of that is going to be, as far as we can work out, mass death. Is going to be a population collapse of around 90%, which is going to make the Late Bronze Age collapse in 1200 BC. And certainly the collapse due to the Justinian Plague in the 500s, in which about 60% of the European population died, looked like a picnic. Now, why is there going to be a population collapse? Well, the reason is perfectly simple. We are subject to what is called the Malthusian cycle. The idea is you have a certain amount of land, that land can sustain a certain number of people. The population is at a certain low level, it grows and grows, particularly during warm conditions in which it is possible to feed a relatively large number of people. And then eventually the population is too high. It's too high for the amount of land that there is. And then nature chucks in a plague or an outbreak of disease or an epidemic, and people weakened by starvation succumb to this epidemic, and there is a population collapse back down to sustainable levels. Then the process simply occurs all over again. Now, this is what happened in medieval Europe, where there had been a massive population spike due to a large warm period known as the medieval warm period. This meant that selection pressure was weakened, and people who were genetically not that well adapted to disease or whatever were able to survive, were able to cope, and there was more than enough food. The population became very, very high. Then the Black Death hit in when it got colder, and weakened by disease and weakened by starvation, people succumbed to the Black Death, and there was a population collapse of as much as 50%. That is the system that has always worked. That is how nature has regulated human populations. The Industrial Revolution broke with this because the Industrial Revolution permitted a system where production and innovation and technology outpaced the growth of the population. So we've been under selection pressure, as I have discussed before on The Jolly Heretic, for various things. Intelligence, because we know that the richer 50% of the population had doubled the surviving fertility of the poorer 50% of the population up until the Industrial Revolution, because of the correlation between wealth and intelligence. So we were under selection for that. We were under selection for being group-oriented. We know that's the case because being group-oriented is correlated with being religious in the traditional sense, and we know that we're under selection for that, and that's about as much as 0.7 heritable. It's associated, even now, with fertility. It's associated with low genetic physical illness and low genetic mental illness. And so it's clearly, we were under selection for this. So we were selected to be this group-oriented people, and there was and this intelligent people, and there was 50% child mortality. And every generation, those that were physically sick, that had high mutational load, that could not cope with the childhood diseases and whatever, would die out. That was the system that we were under. And we were subject, of course, to this general Malthusian cycle. The Industrial Revolution broke with this because due to innovations of medicine and due to innovations that sped up production, efficient production, and meant we could produce far more food. And even though the population grew, we were able to develop the fundamental innovations of the Industrial Revolution to mean that we could continuously produce yet more food, yet more food, yet more food, yet better healthcare, yet better healthcare, yet better healthcare. And so the population could simply grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Now, eventually, we came up against what's known as the demographic transition. And a number of papers have become very interested in this recently because those papers have come to the conclusion that the demographic transition is not permanent, that we will not permanently be in a situation where Western people don't, and indeed people in other parts of the world that are industrialised, increasingly don't have children. It's not permanent, and so eventually it will go into reverse and people will have lots of children, and this will lead to a population explosion, the like of which we've never seen before, a world population of, whatever, 12 billion, 16 billion, which is completely unsustainable, and the result will be a collapse. And it will be a collapse in a context in which we are particularly physically ill and particularly low in IQ and thus unable to cope with that collapse. And therefore, the collapse will be worse. And that is what I want to explore in more detail today. So one of these papers is called What If the Fertility Decline is Not Permanent? Now, the idea is this. You have the demographic transition. So under pre-industrial conditions, you have a high number of births, people have lots and lots of children, but you have high child mortality, about 50%. So lots and lots of those children die. And you have the general cycle of the Malthusian cycle. And so every so often when the population gets too big, its numbers are cut by 40% or 50%. Now, the Industrial Revolution breaks with this. It means that production outpaces the growth of the population. And eventually people have six children, let's say, under the assumption that half of them are going to die, and because they've been inoculated, and because there's enough food, and because there's no famine anymore, and because of better healthcare, none of them do. They all reach adulthood and themselves have children, and so this leads to a massive population spike. And this always happens when societies industrialise. You get this huge rise in population. Eventually, people, for various reasons, we're not quite sure why, people start to reduce the number of children that they have. So they realise that they don't need to have a lot of children to ensure that some of them will be alive to look after them in old age. They realise they can have a small number of children and a much better material lifestyle with a small number of children because those children will definitely survive. Perhaps the society inculcates them with individualistic values relating to materialism or whatever it happens to be, or antinatalism, sort of left-wing values, and so they don't want to have children. But for whatever the reason is, they reduce the number of children that they have. And so the population starts to fall. This is, and we move to a population of low birth rates and low death rates. We've had high birth rates and high death rates. It's now low birth rates and low death rates. Now, the question that they ask in this paper, what if fertility decline is not permanent, is, could this change? Is this reversible? There's a number of reasons to think that it is reversible. First of all traits are partly genetic and partly a response to social and ecological conditions. And this could include the number of children you have. If they are partly genetic, if a desire to have lots of children and an ability to have lots of children is partly genetic, then what that's going to mean is that those that in a culture which is telling them to have small numbers of children, which is inducing them with guilt for having large numbers of children because it's bad for the environment, or you should feel bad about being white, or you should be a career woman and limit your fertility. If you don't, you're a loser or whatever. Those people are going to select themselves out, and therefore all that is going to be left are people who have a genetic propensity to have lots of children and have a genetic desire to have lots of children. They will in turn create a culture where they will pass on the idea that you should have lots of children, presumably because it's the will of God or something like that. And so this is why the heritability of religiousness is 0.7, is very, very high, and these people tend to be highly fertile. So you'd expect these people, therefore the population, once you eliminate all those that don't want to have lots of children, to start to increase, and to increase very rapidly, because all that's going to be left is super breeders. The second issue which they highlight is, well, we know the population doesn't stabilise, it goes to below replacement level. And if that goes on forever, then, of course, the populations are going to die out. yet we know the population is not dying out, and we know who's breeding. And there's certain kinds of people that seem to be prone to breed. And these are, as we know from other videos, people that have low intelligence and people who are extremely religious. This seems to be who is prone to breed. The third point which they make is that this reducing fertility hovers around. Things interfere with it. We know that. So war interferes with it. People seem to have lots of children in the wake of war. So the ecological conditions could change, and this could reverse the demographic transition. But the most important thing they highlight is that reproduction becomes a matter in this context where you're not getting children that are killed because they have poor health or a high mutational load and they die from childhood diseases. It becomes a matter of individual preferences and norms, and that these are always going to be partly genetic. And what they show is that there is a heritability to fertility. So having lots of children and desiring lots of children is at least 0.2 heritable. So we are in a context, basically, in which the whole culture, this woke culture, is saying to you, don't have children. It's inducing you not to have children. It's saying having children is bad. Having children is bad for the environment. Having children is selfish. If you have lots of children, you're a loser. You should dedicate your time to your career and whatever. So those that in that context are going to have lots of children are going to be those that are genetically resistant to these ideas, to the new crucible of evolution, of wokeness. They'll be resistant to those, and they'll have lots of children anyway. And they will pass that on, and therefore their children will have lots of children, and pass that on. And so eventually you'll get a population boom. The second paper, which also looks at this, I will put the link in the description below, is by Kolk et al. And they show again that the effect... the effect size of this heritability of having lots of kids has grown over time. Now, this makes a great deal of sense, of course, because back in the day, everybody just had lots of kids. So there was no correlation between your genetics and having lots of kids, because everybody had lots of kids. Okay, in some cases, more of them died than others, but everyone had lots of kids. Now that lots of people limit their fertility, they limit their fertility because they want to and they have the impulse control to do so. They limit their fertility because they are more efficient users of contraception. They limit their fertility because they are materialistic, or they limit their fertility because they have been inculcated with certain cultural ideas to do so. That means that the genetic element comes to the fore. So this is demonstrating that there is a heritability to how many children you desire and have, to fertility. And this is increasing over time as those that do not have large families for primarily genetic reasons are eliminating themselves from the gene pool. And so what this indicates is that the population is going to revert back. We are going to go back. This demographic transition is reversible, because those that have small numbers of children and have a desire to have small numbers of children die out. And all we're left with is people that want to have lots and lots of children, and there's nothing to stop them doing so. Now, this, of course, is going to hit Africa worse. There is Africa is now going through the demographic transition, and its population is exploding. The population of Nigeria has doubled over the last few decades. I mean, the population is exploding. And the reason that's happening is because when Britain, for example, went through the demographic transition, the level of medical care, the degree to which production outpaced population growth, the medical advances, inoculations, weren't very good. So there was still, when we were going through the demographic transition, there was still a child mortality rate of about 20%. And by the time we were out of the demographic transition and we were limiting our fertility severely, the child mortality rate was maybe 5%. Well, now, when they are going through the demographic transition, the child mortality rate is very, very low when they're going through it, because we have better medicine now, better innovations, better standards of living and whatever. And so, of course, there's going to be an unbelievable explosion. In much the same way, Ireland went through the demographic transition later than Britain and England, resulting in a more substantive population explosion in Ireland than was the case in England, which went through it earlier. So, what you're going to get is serious problems in Africa, because there's papers I will show below that they only just produce enough food in Africa now. So if the population gets bigger, then there simply won't be enough food in Africa to sustain the population. Because of the lack of infrastructure in Africa, it is more difficult and expensive to produce fertilizer. It is more difficult to grow things. It is more difficult to move things around. It's more difficult to pursue agriculture. It's more difficult to exploit the land. And so what this means is that Africa is at about the food capacity it could expect to be at now. And if the population continues growing, then Africa is going to be subject to severe famine and thus a population collapse. But it gets worse than that, because think about what's going to happen if there is if all of these people that have a low desire to have children or who have a desire to have one of the children are out. All that is left is religious people and whatever who are going to have massive numbers of children and desire to have, or other people that are, whether religious or not, they're going to have a desire to have massive numbers of children. What is the result of that going to be? It's going to be very, very serious. It's going to be serious for two reasons. A, because we are getting less intelligent, and that means we're less able to solve problems and less able to sustain a complex infrastructure, including healthcare, welfare, and producing enough food. And B, because we are becoming more genetically sick. Now, I'll look at intelligence first. As I said, we were becoming more intelligent up until the Industrial Revolution. Then what happens is you get the innovation of contraception. This is taken up first by the more intelligent people. They are also more efficient users of contraception. And so they limit their fertility better, and intelligence becomes negatively associated with fertility. That's the first thing. The second innovation you get is women's rights and whatever. This means that the more intelligent woman dedicates all of her 20s and the most part of her 30s to her career, and she only has a small number of children, if any. Whereas the sort of Angela Rayner type, the sort of low IQ woman, you know, single mother at 16, grandmother by the time she's in her early 30s, not just more children, but more generations. And so that's the next thing. The third thing is welfare. The rise of welfare means that people on welfare are rewarded per child that they have, and they can spend that money, of course, on whatever they like. And it's been shown that if you divide England up into those where both parents are working, IQ of 100, those where only one parent is working, IQ of about 90, and those where both parents are on welfare, IQ of about 80, then it is only those with an IQ of about 80, the welfare parents, that have above replacement fertility. And often they have way above replacement fertility. This can be seen, for example, in the case of Mick Philpott, who in 2012 set fire to his own house as part of an insurance fraud with the aim of rescuing the children upstairs, and six of these children died. Mick Philpott has had 17 children. I mean, this is a super breeder. And you would expect those children themselves to inherit his propensity for having lots of children. And so what we would predict is that the percentage of the population that is on that is of low IQ is going to go up. 80, 85 is the cutoff point for basically being unemployable, for being unable to do anything in a complex society. We estimate that the IQ of Britain will be 85, so basically unable to work, by the end of the century. So 50%, possibly more, of the population will be unable to engage in useful work. They will be on benefits. They will be reliant on a society that has a massive amount of resources, that has a huge amount of resources, that produces all this stuff, all this extra stuff, really efficiently, that basically produces way, way too a huge, huge, huge surplus, essentially, of food and resources, so that it can feed the population. So that's the first thing. We will be much less intelligent than we are now. So we managed to solve this corona crisis now and come up with a vaccine. If we had an average IQ of 85, we wouldn't be able to do that. And also the hospitals would work less well, and there'd be corruption, and there'd be less resources to deal with patients, and there'd be all kinds of chaos, and there'd just be basically lots of death. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that we are selecting for poor health. And we've been doing that since the Industrial Revolution. At the time of the Industrial Revolution, we were very, 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 every generation, any kind of mutation from the norm that we were selecting for, from people that were basically highly intelligent, highly group oriented, because in the battle of group selection, which we were under, it's groups which are highly group oriented that tend to dominate other groups. Any deviation from that is going to be mutation, and it's going to basically be associated with poor genetic health and poor mental health. So selection pressure weakens, child mortality collapses, from 50% to 1%. So what you're going to, which it is now, so what you're going to get is a huge tsunami, a huge build-up of mutation, people becoming more and more genetically sick, and also more and more, less and less intelligent, because intelligence is associated with mutational, low mutational load in the brain, and therefore low generalized mutational load. And it's been shown that low intelligence is associated with genetic problems of other kinds, like a genetic propensity to heart disease is associated with low IQ, a genetic propensity to strokes is associated with low IQ. The genes for poor physical health are associated with the genes for poor mental health, which makes sense because the brain is 84% of the genome. So if you've got poor genes of the body, you will have poor genes of the mind as well, and thus low intelligence. Now, we are literally selecting for low intelligence, and we are also selecting people that have a genetic propensity to heart disease have more children. People that have a genetic propensity to strokes have more children. People that have a genetic propensity to be fat have more children. We are genetically becoming this super sick population. So imagine what would happen if there was then a population explosion where the population rose so high that it could not be sustained, but it outpaced the ability to produce food. There wasn't enough food, and that population had low IQ, and that population was highly genetically sick, and thus highly reliant on healthcare and on welfare. What would be the result of that? Well, the result of that would be a population collapse, would be an inability to feed the population, and it would therefore be starvation, because we wouldn't be able to feed the population, and the population would therefore collapse into anarchy and violence and a struggle for food. That is what would happen. It wouldn't matter. I mean, if we had the intelligence to be able to think of some new way to innovate things more efficiently and thus produce even more food, but as the IQ goes down, the level of per capita innovation goes down, and eventually the level of per capita innovation dries up, and eventually then we can no longer do things we used to be able to do, such as sustain a complex society, sustain a complex healthcare system, whatever. Also, as intelligence goes down, trust levels go down, levels of altruism go down, so people will be less inclined to sustain a free healthcare system or to sustain welfare or whatever. And so these things, in a context of overpopulation, will start to come apart. But one can imagine then that all it would take would be a coronavirus to come along like it has now, and then of course we would be completely unable to come up with a vaccine for this coronavirus, and it would hit a population that was extremely genetically sick and extremely impulsive and low in IQ and disinclined to do anything to help its own interests. Now you can imagine what that would mean. That would mean mass death. It would be comparable to what happened in the Bronze Age collapse of 1200 BC, where basically you had this highly intelligent people that produced this high level of civilization, and then very suddenly, boom, very suddenly, there was a volcanic eruption and there was a nuclear winter, or a series of nuclear winters. And the result of that was that the population, who had been adapted to this relatively balmy, warm period and managed to grow very, very high, was overwhelmingly maladaptive. And there was nowhere near enough food. The result was a total collapse. It was mass immigration, the sea people coming in from colder areas trying to find land. It was warfare and conflict. It was nobody had any money anymore, so anything that was above sort of sustenance, anything that was above just getting by and having enough food becomes abandoned. So all of these extra jobs, all the stuff in the cities, all of the complex stuff that requires an excess of food. You need an excess of food to have some people not working on the land. You need a massive excess of food to have lots and lots of people not working on the land. Suddenly there's not enough food. So the cities collapse and depopulate and fall into ruin. People return to the countryside looking for areas to farm, looking for land. There's complete disorder. You get protection rackets. People stop farming and sort of go wander off and search for new lands that they can just sort of pasture animals on and things like that. And the population, the civilization only just held on. in that context. Greece totally collapsed. There were no functioning cities left in Greece after this collapse. The Homeric epics were passed on by oral tradition, and there was an 800-year dark age in Greece. So that's the kind of thing that we would think is going to happen. This collapse is not going to be an ordinary collapse. It's not going to be like the collapse of classical Rome, where things start to go backwards as people become less intelligent, and then you get the Great Justinian Plague, which reduces the population by 60%. Because they'd never had an industrial revolution. So their people, at that collapse, were relatively healthy. Our people will be unbelievably unhealthy. 90% of them would not have been able to survive under pre-industrial conditions. And so what you would expect as we return to pre-industrial conditions or something like it would be a collapse of in the order of 90% or more. As all of these people who need healthcare, who are reliant on welfare, who can't work, who are so low in IQ, they couldn't do anything to contribute to the economy. They couldn't farm. They couldn't do anything. They're good as maybe hunter-gatherers, if that. Those people will be completely unable to sustain themselves or find food. They will start fighting among themselves, and you will have Darwinian conditions reimposed. You'll then get lots of people with no useful skills who are unable to farm, garden, produce food or whatever. They will all die out. And all that will be left will be highly fit, mentally and physically fit people. That is what we would predict would happen. The only good thing would be we would expect intelligent people to have the ability and resources to flee this, to set up refugia and to keep civilization going somewhere else as anarchy raged all around them. But that is for another time. I hope this has been... Basically, the point is that we're going to... The demographic transition is going to go into reverse, and there's going to be a massive population spike and a massive famine and collapse as a result. Well, I hope this has been of interest, and if it has, then please feel free to subscribe. It really helps me if you do that. Remember, I live stream on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. If you would like to help the channel, you can see ways to do so in the description. And I will see you soon, and goodbye.